This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day. What a gift to have sunshine after several days of rain. What a gift it is to be in this place with all of you this morning to worship. It's my privilege to welcome you to this place, and especially if you are visiting with us, if this is your very first time, we are blessed that you are here among us, and we hope that you have an opportunity to meet some of the friends sitting around you. If you are looking for a church home, we would love for you to come after the service out this doorway to Reed Hall. There will be a welcome desk there and friends with blue name tags. Those are our Andrew ministers, and they are ready to answer any questions you might have or get to know you a little bit and tell you about some of the ways we're living out God's love in our community and in our world. If you're a college student, we invite you to lunch after this service. There's always a group that meets in Reed Hall out this doorway at noon after the late service and decide on where to go to lunch together, and that's a great way to connect with each other. This evening at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly Teze service of worship. The Teze style of worship is a contemplative, prayerful style of worship with lots of singing and silence. And it's a tremendous gift in the middle of a busy season to come and enjoy that worship. So that will be at 5 o'clock tonight in the sanctuary. And then throughout the season of Lent, we offer special concerts on Thursdays at noon. And if you work nearby, it's a great way to take a break in the middle of the day and hear some sacred music and have a little bit of lunch afterwards and connect with others. We have begun the season of Lent, this 40-day season of preparation, for hearing once again the story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. We invite you during these 6 weeks into a season of self-reflection and prayer, of gathering for worship and pondering what it is that Christ offers us. Let us continue our worship together now as we open our hearts and minds to this hour together.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. As those gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, may we trust in God's grace as we confess our sins together. God of merciful love, here we are again, day after day, week after week, year after year. We come before you to admit our shortcomings. We confess that we often fail to love you. We forget to love our neighbors, and we do not want to love our enemies. Yet we return time and again because your forgiveness offers us hope. Your strength diminishes our weakness. Your goodness overcomes our evil doing. We confess that we need you daily. Your grace alone enables us to live our lives to the fullest. This is why we gather. Since we have a great priest, Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Now we know it's flu season right now, so before we pass the peace, we just wanted to say, if you'd rather bump elbows or just wave or nod, You're free to do that during the passing of the peace and also as you exit the service later when you're greeted by folks at the door. So as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs and reconciliation of love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a reading from the Epistle, the New Testament to the Hebrews. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite all the grown-ups to have a seat and children of all ages to come forward. Good to see you all this morning. I was thinking about, as I was holding my hymnal, you know, I can lift this hymnal by myself. Isn't that something? Look at this. Are you impressed? No, not really. Well, what if I wanted to lift up this table? I'm actually not even sure it lifts up, but I couldn't do it by myself, could I? I'd need at least three or four other people to help me do that. Well, there are some things that we can do by ourselves, and there are some things we can't do by ourselves. And one of the things we're not supposed to do by ourselves is follow Jesus. Now, we all love Jesus, and we want to be his disciples, but Jesus says we do that together. Part of what we do as followers of Jesus is we go to church and we gather with other believers. It's just not something we're meant to do by ourselves, because other people can help us and they can love us, and together we can like build a habitat house. But I couldn't do that by myself. So I'm glad you're here this morning, and I'm glad you're part of the church, because I need you to help me be a better follower of Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your church, for people that we can gather with who can love us and teach us about you and help us to love you better. Thank you for people that we can work with to make this world a better place. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back to sit with your parents or grandparents or friends. When I was in college, I stopped going to church for a while. Maybe some of you did too. Maybe I'm not alone in that. My freshman year of college, I was really good. I mean, I grew up going to church. Our family was in church every Sunday. And so when I got to college, I joined the chapel choir so that every Sunday morning, I went to church and sang in that choir. I got up early, I put on my church clothes, and I made the long, lonely walk across campus to the chapel. My footsteps echoed on the sidewalk as all the dorms, everything was shut down. I felt like I was the only student going to church. I wasn't, but it felt that way. My sophomore year, I decided to join a different singing group, and so I didn't have that responsibility on Sunday mornings. So I decided to visit around a little bit. I didn't have a car, so there was really only one other church I could walk to, and it just wasn't a good fit, you know? So I stopped going to church on Sunday morning. I continued to go to some Bible studies here and there, and I visited some of the Christian groups on campus, but none of them ever seemed to fit for me. They didn't feel like a spiritual home. I didn't try the Wesley Foundation. Sorry, Nancy, I should have. Then I would have found my spiritual home, but I just gave up too easily, and honestly, I just got lazy. I convinced myself that I can be a Christian and do this by myself. I can continue to pray, I can read my Bible, I can do good deeds in the world. I can do this by myself. Well, a few years went by, and as it turns out, I really wasn't praying very much, and I wasn't reading my Bible by myself, and I'm not sure I was doing a whole lot of good in the world either. Ironically enough, it was during my college years that I felt the call to ministry. And so I told myself, you know, when I'm 25, I'm going to go to seminary, and then I'll get back to things. But I don't need to go to church right now. So I did that, and I enrolled at Candler School of Theology at Emory and was sitting there in the opening worship service of student orientation. And I realized I was sitting there with all these other students who were there to learn about their faith and to probably go into ministry. And we started singing the hymn together. And then Helen Pearson, the dean of students, stood up with this angelic glow on her face and said, "Welcome to this place." And I lost it. The tears just came flowing down my face because I realized in that moment how much I had missed my people. How much I had missed going to church, being part of a faith community, gathering regularly with people of all ages and different opinions and singing the songs of faith together and growing together in love. I had really missed it. I didn't know what I was missing until I came home. And then it really clicked for me for the very first time. It is necessary for us as Christians to gather. We are designed to gather. That is part of being a disciple of Jesus, that we become part of the body of Christ. That's the way God has always designed us to be. Way back in the book of Genesis, God called Abraham and Sarah, but God said to them, "Your descendants will be a special people for me." And the whole of the Hebrew Scriptures is about God's relationship with a people. When we get to the New Testament, we see how Jesus went about his ministry. He was not a solo practitioner. He never was. Even though he was the Son of God, he could have done it any way he wanted to. He gathered around himself a community. Not just the 12 disciples, but we learn from Luke's gospel there were women who followed him. There were at least 70 more who followed him, because there's that story where Jesus sends them out, 70, to the towns and villages, but he doesn't send them out as solo practitioners. He sends them out two by two. It's always we, and never just I. When he taught his disciples how to pray, he said, "Our Father." Not my Father, our Father. And how many times does Jesus, as he's teaching, use the plural pronoun you? Very rarely does he use the singular. He teaches us, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also." And after the resurrection, when the Holy Spirit began to do her work in the world, everywhere people were moved by the Holy Spirit, a church was born. It always created a gathering of people. So God has designed God's people to be a gathering people, to be a body that comes together. Why did God design us that way? Why did God design the church to be the great hope for the world? I think there are lots of reasons, some of them more practical than others. I think one reason God designed us for community is because we need it. God knew that we needed one another. If we're going to live this life of discipleship, we're going to need other people to live it alongside of us. People we can gather with regularly and who can remind us that we are beloved children of God. When we're feeling unworthy, when we're feeling lost, we can gather with God's people and be held and encouraged and reminded that we are beloved. We can support each other in our practices of discipleship. John Wesley knew this. He wasn't the only one in the 18th century who went out into the fields and preached to hundreds, if not thousands, of people at a time. But John Wesley did something different with the Methodists. If he preached to a large crowd and there were people who were converted to the faith, he created small groups, bands of people, who were to meet together weekly and hold each other accountable in love. And that's how the Methodist movement took fire. But it's not just to encourage each other. When we hear this letter to the Hebrews, we're overhearing a pastor writing to his congregation. Some people think this book of Hebrews is actually a sermon. I don't know what you would do to me if I preached a sermon as long as the book of Hebrews, but it's an exhortation, a word of encouragement. And this pastor says to his people, "Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some." Apparently some had stopped gathering. Maybe they were afraid because of the persecution of Christians at the time. Or maybe they had been expecting Jesus to come back any day, and that return had been delayed and delayed, and they'd lost their passion and their sense of urgency. But for some reason, some had stopped gathering. And so the preacher says, do not neglect to meet together. We need to gather to encourage one another and to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Isn't that a great word? The Greek word actually means pester, irritate, provoke, poke. We're supposed to irritate each other. Isn't that awesome? I love that. We are meant to speak the truth in love to each other, to make sure that we are offering words of wisdom to each other. When we see one another perhaps about to take a step in the wrong direction, the Christian community is meant to be a place where we can lovingly encourage and provoke one another and even irritate one another. Haven't seen you in Sunday school for a while. We miss you. Hey, why don't you come serve food at Room in the Inn? You've asked me 5 times. I know, but I'm provoking you to good deeds. That's part of what the gathering does for us. If we're going to learn to love our neighbor and God more deeply, that's not a solo practice. We come to this place to practice love on each other, so that we can go out into the world and show the world what God's love is really like. Which I think is another reason that God calls us to be a people that gathers. It's for the sake of the world. Our gathering is a sign of the kingdom of God in our world. If we can do church well, if we can love one another well, it's an incredible witness to our world. And just think about it. Here in this sanctuary this morning, I bet we've got some Democrats and some Republicans. I bet we've got people who have different opinions about gun control, which is a big conversation right now this week, about health care, about all the hot topics of our day. We've got people with very different backgrounds. We've got folks who've got a lot of money and people who have next to nothing. And yet, we come together every Sunday and look each other in the eye and say, the peace of Christ be with you, and also with you. That is a radical act in the world that we live in. I don't know that that happens anywhere else in our culture right now. So if we can gather, and if we can learn and try and work on loving each other and passing peace to one another, what a great witness we can be in our world. And if we provoke one another to good deeds, if we pool our resources together and focus our energy on particular things in our community, on the pain and the suffering that's in our community, there's so much more we can do than if we were all out there just trying to do things on our own. Think about the impact we can make, we are making, on the lives of those who live on the streets, or for those who need health care, dental care. Because we have pooled our resources and gathered together and done that as a body, we are making a greater impact for the kingdom of God. So our gathering is good for us. It's good for the world. But I think the deepest reason that I have discovered that we are called by God to gather is because it's the very nature of who God is. Our Christian doctrine teaches us that God is Trinity. God is already within God's self a community, parent, child, and Holy Spirit, creator, sustainer, redeemer, three as one, pouring into each other love eternally. And we are part of that eternal dance of love that is within God. God is relationship. And so we are called to be the reflection of that love in our world today. So my friends, let us not neglect to meet together. It is for our good. It is for the good of the world. It is God's very nature. Amen. Each week we have the privilege of standing as one body with one heart and one voice and affirming our faith together with these words that have been passed down to us by our brothers and sisters in Christ centuries before us. Sometimes we struggle with the words of the creed, but they hold us together as a body. And so I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our creed, which is on page 888 in our hymnals. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. You may be seated.
We lift up our joys and concerns of the church. If you have a prayer request, you'll see a gray card in the pew rack in front of you. Please fill that out and note if it should be confidential and drop it in the offering plate in a few moments. We grieve with the family and friends of Robert Stickley Hines Jr., who died Sunday, February 11th. Services were held at West End on Thursday. Among his survivors is his wife, West End member Mary Hooks. And we're grieving with Carol, Paul, Lindsay, and Rachel Ballinger, who are mourning the death of Carol's mother, Barbara Woodard Crawford, who died on Sunday, February 11th. And services were held Saturday, February 17th, yesterday at Cornell Memorial UMC in Goodlettsville. And of course, we mourn with the family and friends of the victims of the mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Let us now offer to God our thoughts and our prayers, both silent and spoken. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all seasons, in your pattern of things, there is a time for keeping and a time for losing, a time for building up and a time for pulling down. In this holy season of Lent, let us journey to the cross. Help us to discern in our lives what we must lay down and what we must take up, what we must end and what we must begin. Give us grace to lead a disciplined life alongside other believers. We give you thanks for friends whom we can practice our faith together. We especially give you thanks for this community, West End UMC, where we can gather together in worship and in service. In glad fullness and with joy, which comes from a closer walk with Christ, we give you thanks as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now go before God with our prayers, trusting in the mercy of grace, God who hears us and works for our good.
Thank you.
Our gathering has been sweet. We have been reminded of God's love for us, been provoked to love and good deeds, and now we are sent forth as the body of Christ to be Christ's love in the world. Our connection remains. Our ministry continues. Go in his peace. Amen.